Good to be back. We had a very good family reunion. The Lord blessed us with absolutely perfect weather on the Oregon coast, if you can believe that. Probably 70 degrees each day, sunshine, light breeze. You know, what can you say? It was really nice and enjoyed it a lot. As much as I love Melissa's family and I do miss very much my church family here. And one of the things that I did while I was on the beach, or actually I didn't like to go to the beach, but anyway, while I was down there, I read quite a bit, and I actually read an entire book, which from start to finish, and for me, that's unusual to be able to do that in one thing. Of course, the book was 60 pages long. Excuse me, 65 pages long. And it had fairly big print. And he didn't utilize every space on the page. So anyway, but the title of the book is The Simplicity of Disciple Making. And it's just and seven ways we complicated it. And the thing that I liked about the book is it just made me kind of come back to what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Are we making things way, way, way too overcomplicated? And so it really got me thinking, and then it's interesting that this morning, oh, by the way, the name of the gentleman is Rob Fisher, and I believe he's in Spokane. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. She was shaking her fist at me, and I thought maybe I said something wrong. So, anyway, but he's in Spokane, and I guess he'd be willing to come and speak sometime, too. So, might be a possibility for the future. But then I read this book, and I just thought, man, there's so much in what he says there, and how we've overcomplicated things, and added so much stuff onto what we're really supposed to be doing. And then today I'm supposed to do a message on the Apostle Paul and on his mission. Now, notice the title of the book is not Missions, because he took several missionary trips. In fact, if you look at the title, and you can see all the missionary trips that Paul went on. And that is really incredible when you think there was no planes, trains, or automobiles at that time. It was by foot, maybe, on a donkey or a horse, some of it, on a sailing ship occasionally. So the man did tremendous things, and it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to take a man who wrote all these different letters in the New Testament and compose much of the New Testament with his letters to the different churches, and I'm supposed to boil all the things that he said down and tell you all those things in 15 minutes. I mean, then I remembered the book that I read. I don't need to make it complicated, because I think there's something that we can learn from Paul, and I'm not going to look so much at his teachings, individual teachings. How do you pick out one thing that the Apostle Paul says and preach on that, and then ignore everything else that he said to all the other churches? But what we're going to look at today is kind of the man himself, the Apostle Paul. Who was he? What do you envision when you hear the name the Apostle Paul? Who do you envision? I mean, for me at first it's kind of like, I envision Billy Graham. You know, I just kind of have those two kind of put in there, you know. So I imagine the Apostle Paul had the wavy hair and was tall and talked with a southern accent. And all those things, and knowing that he didn't speak English, probably not, those things, and standing up there in stadiums with hundreds of thousands of people, and Paul would be preaching to all these people. That's a very misconception of who Paul was. The Apostle Paul, now, and I'm not saying that anything wrong with Billy Graham, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to say just something about him a little bit later on that I think will tie some things together. But when we think of Apostle Paul, we think of this forceful dude that was a phenomenal speaker. I mean, someone who could weave words together and just spellbind people with his words, and there was some almost a mystic power about the man. But if you read what Paul writes about himself, you will see that is totally wrong. Paul was really quite a simple man. He was a simple man who knew what he was supposed to do, and he did it. And I think that's just a tremendous theme for us. We need to discover what we are to do as Christians and do it. We are to discover what we need to do as a church and do it, just like the Apostle Paul did. So this is just going to be a very brief overview of the Apostle Paul and just some things that kind of struck me about Paul. I'm going to take most of my message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So if you want to turn in that to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is what Paul says about himself. He said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing else while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Let's pray. Father, in the brief time that we have, help us to see Paul's motivation, your hand in Paul's life, and Father, how you will also help us as we do as you instruct us to do. Speak to us now, Lord, for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at three things this morning. We're going to look at Paul's purpose. Why did he do what he did? We're going to look at Paul's style, which is probably going to be more surprising to us than we would think. And then we're going to look at Paul's strength. The character of Paul and where did he get his strength from. First of all, as we look at Paul's purpose, Paul had a very single purpose. He was a very focused individual. And we find it in 1 Corinthians 2:2. Because Paul says, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That was Paul's purpose, was to share Jesus Christ to a world that did not know about Him. To a world that desperately needed Him. That was his sole purpose. And he didn't deviate from that at all. He didn't get into big controversies. Oh yes, he and Peter had a little bit of a conversation in Jerusalem. But he didn't get into politics. He didn't do anything other than what he felt his purpose was, which was to share Jesus Christ with the world. And you see that in his other parts of his writings. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Again, focus is the cross of Jesus Christ, which is a broader term for it is the gospel. He's bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the importance of the cross, which we've talked about in former weeks. But that's what Paul says. I'm not going to boast about anything except Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 1:1, he says, he writes, "Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." Paul was extremely focused. He knew what his purpose was. And that was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needed it. And that's how he spent his life. A very different life by any standards. A life that most of us would not be willing to live, just simply because of the hardships that the man faced as he did his task. But he had a purpose. And it was a very simple, singular purpose, and that was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with an unbelieving world. And I thought about that, and I'm thinking, well, what is our purpose as a church? What is my purpose as a pastor? Well, not even a pastor, but just as a believer. As someone who claims to be a Christian, what is my purpose? Why does God want me here? Now, I can come up with all kinds of different ideas. But there's one very simple, over everything idea. God has me here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a world that needs to hear about him. And I think that's the purpose of the church. I think that's the purpose of us as a united group. As a family, we need to share Jesus Christ. And I think we complicate things so much. If we would just think about people in our community who don't know the Lord, who are facing an eternity without him, in a place called hell. And I think the reason that hell is so bad is not because of the brimstone and the fire that the Bible talks about, but it's because it is apart from God, and there is nothing good apart from God. See, Paul knew that. That drove him. That was his purpose, and he was very focused on doing that. And I think we, personally and corporately, need to focus on what we are doing here and what the Lord would have us do. I want to switch now to Paul's style. Well, Paul was interesting because before the Lord entered his life in a very dramatic way, Paul, I think, was kind of an arrogant religious leader. He talks about all his achievements, all the things that he was doing, and all the things that he really could be praised for. I would guess that he was probably a very good speaker and a communicator. But listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God." He came to them very humbly. He didn't have arrogance about him. He didn't have a superiority about him. I know about God, and I am going to tell you. That's not Paul. I would have guessed that might have been kind of what Paul would have been like, but not from his writings. That's not Paul. Paul just had a burning desire in his heart to share the gospel. And he did it in a very simple way. Yes, profound in that the fact that it was the gospel, but simple. He goes on to say in verse 4 and 5, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. What Paul is saying is here is, I didn't come to you and try to sway you with my ability to weave words together. Now, in today's world, we are people, flock to a man who can speak, a man who is witty, a man who says things in such a profound way, or a man who can make you laugh, or a man who can string you along, or a man who can... People are drawn to that. But Paul was not that type of guy. He says, I didn't use wise and persuasive words. He didn't try to persuade people with his tongue, with his wisdom, with his ability to speak. He simply told them the gospel. That's all he did. He did it in a very simple way. Now listen to what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Paul says, for some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Now, if I were Paul, I wouldn't have included that in my letter. You know, I mean, people didn't need to know that, hey, they really don't think much of him as a speaker. He writes great letters, but he doesn't communicate well and of course, I think Paul is being somewhat harsh on himself, but it gives us a picture into who Paul is. He is not intimidating. He is not impressive. He is not flashy. He is not, you know, just kind of the greatest showman type of thing. You know, I love that movie, the greatest showman. I guess that's like, anyway, you know, someone who is just kind of like, look at me, I can do all this stuff, you know. I have a son that's like that, you know, just kind of, look at me, I can do all this stuff. He says, yeah, but you mean anything that you're doing? Well, no, but, you know, so Paul didn't try to weave a story. He didn't try to overwhelm people. He wanted the power of the Holy Spirit to work through the words that he said, very simple words that he said to his people. And I think, again, we try to overcomplicate what we're trying to do. And we have all kinds of things that, you know, classes and courses, and, you know, I read all kinds of books that tell me, this is how you do evangelism, and this is how you do evangelism. And some of them have some very good thoughts, and they're all very well intentioned. But the way Paul did evangelism is he shared the good news of Jesus Christ with people across the world. That's how he did it. He didn't come up with great stories and fancy speech and all these different words that might have attracted people. He didn't do it. He just simply shared the story of Jesus Christ and the gospel and Jesus and the cross. He shared those things in a very simple manner, in a way that people were actually not even impressed with what he said. But you see also what Paul is doing here. He's not pulling the attention to himself. See, that's something that occasionally pastors like to do. You know, and I have to admit, I'm guilty. You know, I don't want to preach a whiz-banging sermon. Because I would like to have you people say, yo, that was just a great sermon, Pastor. That's just, wow, I don't know how you think of those things. Now, I don't know how I think of them either. But, you know, the thing is, I could write the best sermon that I have ever written, or the best sermon that anyone has ever written. The Holy Spirit isn't in it. It isn't going to do anything. I might actually even convince someone that they need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I might even be able to do it, that their faith is based on my words and not on Jesus Christ. And we see that happen all the time. That people believe in Jesus Christ because of who they listen to. And they don't really believe in Jesus Christ. They just believe in who they're listening to. You know, and Paul says, no, your faith cannot be based on my words and what I'm saying. Your faith has to be based on the Spirit and on the power of Jesus Christ. And that leads us into Paul's strength. You know, was Paul an impressive person? I mean, if we were to see Paul, we'd be thinking, oh, wow. You know, I mean, you know, it's fun. I'm going to give Carter a bad time. You know, and you all need to give Carter a bad time. He's in there. But just remember, FBC stands for flattened by Carter. So you need to just keep that in your mind and realize that he's throwing, you know, 56 pounds of weight, 18 feet in the air over his head with one hand. You know, just remember those things. But you know, you look at him, and even if he's dressed in the guilt, he's still pretty impressive looking, you know, these big and stuff. You know, that's human strength. Paul didn't have human strength that I could tell, not in his writings. His strength always came from the Lord. I mean, look what he said in back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. I came to you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Wow. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul was, you know, you think he was this big, confident guy that just kind of bowled in and no, his world got rocked quite a bit of the time. Not to say that he got rocked a couple times too. He was stoned, and they left him for dead once. And people, they had to sneak him out of places. They had to, you know, Paul's ministry was not, it was great and wonderful, and he achieved a lot of things, but it was not an easy ministry. And then in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, we read this about him. It says, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Paul's visit to the Galatians was due to an illness. And it must have been quite an illness that he had. And yet, they treated him well. And even in his illness and his weakened condition, the ministry, the words had power and changed the Galatians. See, Paul's strength did not come from himself. It did not come from his physical nature. It did not come from the fact that he was just very resolved in his mind to do this, and he had a very strong constitution, and his mind was strong, and it was mind over matter. Paul's strength came from the Lord, and we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Paul says, I will boast about a man like that, and he's talking about this man who has been seen the heavens, and because I will boast, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Then he goes on and he says down in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12. He says, but he said to me, and this is with the thorn in the flesh. Paul had some, whether it was a physical illness, whether his eyesight, we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But he had an issue. And he asked God to remove it. In fact, he asked God to remove it 3 times. And I'm trying to figure out how the people who believe that we can just demand that God remove the things and they're removed from our life, and yet the Apostle Paul, who was so particularly powerful of a speaker and knew God so well and had such a close relationship with God, could not have the thorn in the flesh removed. But this is why it wasn't removed. Because God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, we think that we need to have a certain power, a certain ability to go out and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need strength. God will give us the strength, just like he did with Paul. We think that we need to be big, strong, powerful people who are clever with tongue, clever with words, and great debaters and convince people of things. We don't. We need to simply share the gospel as Paul did. And we need to trust in God to do the work and rely on his strength in our lives. Paul, from what I can tell here, really, after his meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, was a very simple man, a very humble man, but a man who had a purpose, a man who was very humble and mild and gentle with people when he met them, and a man who relied on the strength of the Holy Spirit in his life to complete his mission. Paul turned the known world on its ear. He really brought the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And he did that not because of his tremendous stature, because of who he was, because he did it because he followed God's purpose for his life and he relied on God's strength to see him through. And the same thing is available to us today. The same thing. We have a purpose to bring Jesus Christ to this world. We don't have to be the most clever church in the world. We don't have to come up with the greatest gimmicks in the world. We need to trust that God will work in our church. We need to trust that God will work in our lives. We don't need to try to convince anybody of anything. We need to share with them the gospel and then pray that the Holy Spirit brings them along, because it's only the Holy Spirit that can bring them to that point of believing. And we need to rely on God for our strength. We don't have to be talented. We don't have to be a gifted speaker. We don't have to know the Bible in and out and every little nook and cranny. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we don't have to. We just need to open our mouths and share the simple news of Jesus Christ and the cross with those who are around us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Paul's ministry, for what Paul has done. Thank you, Lord, that it was not with persuasive words, or not with great human intellect or wisdom, or with physical power or human strength that Paul did hear. But Lord, it was all you working through Paul, working in Paul's life, leading Paul, encouraging Paul, strengthening Paul. And Father, you are willing to do that for us too, as we serve you, as we focus our life on you and on the gospel. Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory, as you used Paul for your honor and your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name.